things aren't easy. And we feel it every single day we wake up. It's almost like we wake up in the morning and we have to engage gravity, because gravity can tend to make everything seem so hard. It's the gravity of life. It's the gravity of relationships. It's a gravity of work. As we look at this series, I want to look at some of the hardest things that we struggle with and how we can make them easier, how God would help us to make them easier. Now, let me say, there are kind of two categories. There are those hard things that are hard for you, and maybe not for myself. There are hard things that are easy for you and hard for me. I mean, think about it. Running a marathon. That has never happened in my life. That is never going to happen in my life. I've never even thought about running a marathon. And when I think about running a marathon, I dread it. But there are people who live for running marathons. They talk about runner's high. I get shin splints, and that's about it. But there are people, they just, that's something they live for. Math. There are people who are math whizzes, and they'll tell you, oh, it's so easy once you understand. No, it's not. For those of us who hate math, just the whole idea of it makes us nauseous. Losing weight. I had a teacher in high school who, if he decided to lose weight within a week, he would just shed pounds. And he'd say, it's no problem for me. If I just decide to do it, I just lose the weight. I've never met anybody like that, but he would literally shed pounds within a week. Exercising. For some people, I love exercising. I love working out. But I know people, they hate working out. I had a counseling client of mine. I loved his answer to me, because his wife was always nagging him about losing weight. And he said, I'm not against it. I just love eating and hate working out. You can see the problem there. But for some people, that whole idea of working out just makes your skin crawl. It just seems like it's too hard. Fixing things that are broken in the home. Hard for me, easy for Don Plumpton. Meeting new people. There are those of you, you love to meet new people. There are others of us that meeting new people, yeah, it's harder than it is for others. Having a lot of kids. I know families where they have tons of kids and they say it's just one, and three was enough. You see, there are those things that for some people, it's just easy. And for others, it can be very, very hard. And yet there's a caution in all that too, because it's easy for us to get caught in that. It's easy for us to begin to think, if it's so easy for them, especially when they're telling you, oh, this is so easy. Once you understand basic calculus, you've got it made. Or you know, it's a piece of cake. All you have to be is, you know, you just have to be a little bit tall, and, or, you know, if you just have a couple extra hours in the morning, you can pull this off. And you sit there and say, that is never going to happen. And what can happen is this. You can walk around feeling like you're not enough. Because when something's hard for us and easier for others, it's easy for us to begin to think that we're not enough, that there's something missing inside of us. And so when we look at the hard things of life, it's easy for us to look around at others, see what they do, and begin to feel insignificant. I want you to ask to raise hand, but I can guarantee you, I hear it all the time. People say to me, you know, I don't know why it's so hard for me. Now, they never think to themselves, but wait a minute, I know there are things I do that others can't do. And so the caution in that is, even while we can all do different things, it's easy to judge ourselves and it's easy to judge others. But there are some things that are hard for everyone. They're not the things like mountain climbing. They're not the things like math or the ability to save money. They're the hardest things. The things like dealing with rejection or being vulnerable with other people. The hard things like being in a relationship. The hard things of dealing with stress. The hard things of work. The hard things of trying to fit in somewhere. You see, every single person struggles with those things. Every single person is afraid of something. Every single person doubts at times, even the most faithful. The hardest things, they're the things that everyone struggles with. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at those things, the hardest things, the things that can make us run for the hills, make us avoid, make us shrink back into small little lives because the hardest things just seem too hard. This morning, I'm going to give you four principles that are going to help us as we go forward and look at some of these different subjects in the weeks to come. The first principle that I want you to see this morning is life is hard. Now, that was easy, wasn't it? Life is hard. Why is life hard? Well, if you look at the scriptures, it goes all the way back to Genesis. You know, one of the wonderful things about our faith is that there's answers for life. Because without that, life becomes even harder. Because without that, there's no understanding of why is life hard. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see God creating Adam and Eve. We see God blessing them, giving them everything they need so that life isn't hard for them. So that there's a harmony to life. There's a connectedness in life. A connectedness between a man and a woman. A connectedness with the environment. A connectedness inside. We never hear of Adam or Eve being depressed. And yet in Genesis chapter 3, we see the fall. We see where the rebellion against God takes place. Because the evil one comes and says, you know, you can have more than this. You don't need to be under God's thumb. You can be just like him. And so sin enters the world. And life becomes hard. Look what we read in Genesis chapter 3. To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam he said, curse is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food. From it all the days of your life, it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Now, what we're seeing there is just what we talked about. At the fall, life became hard. Relationships became hard. Bringing life into the world became hard. At the fall, vulnerability became hard. Yeah, you'll desire your husband and he'll rule over you. And what he's really saying is you'll desire him, basically you'll desire his position, and he'll fight against you, and now function comes dysfunction. Broken homes. Trying to keep a marriage together is hard. Trying to keep a family together is hard. Trying to go to work each day is hard. Before the fall, work wasn't hard. Work was a gift. It was the ability to be the co-regent on this earth to represent God and to take dominion of it, to be creative and productive. And now life just became hard. There's a principle I want to share with you out of this that if you can put that up there. In a fallen world, the hard things are where we find the good things. You see, once the fall took place and life became hard, now all the good things become the hard things. If you want to know what's good for you, the truth is, you can pretty much figure what's going to be hard. I mean, if I graduate from high school and I think, you know, I bet you a lot of great things will happen and I'll make a lot of money and I'll have a lot of opportunities if I just don't pursue an education any further. Because 4 years of college, that's hard. In fact, if I want to do anything even beyond college, graduate school, that's very hard. Anything good means it's going to be hard. In a fallen world, the hard things are where we find the good things. In the same way, like I said, where I find the easiest things is where I find the bad things. Sloth, greed, isolation, not caring. Easy, but bad. And the problem is, when I gravitate to the easy things, they usually become the bad things that in the end make the hard things even harder. In the end, they just make simple living harder. We engage the hard things because we realize they're the good things. Yeah, it wasn't hard at one time, but it is now. And yet, with God, we see hard as an impossible. What does God call us to do? Not to run away from hard things, but to run towards them. Think about in your life right now what you need to engage that's hard. Maybe it's asking a boss for a raise. Maybe it's trying harder in your marriage. Maybe it's interviewing for a new job. Maybe it's reading your Bible. Maybe it's just spending time alone, trying to gather your thoughts. It's amazing how many people don't spend time alone with God. And it's no wonder why we run around in this world just confused and crazy and desperate. Life is hard. But in a fallen world where life is hard, we pursue the hard things because that's what brings us the best things. Number two, no one is perfect. No one is perfect. In Ecclesiastes, we read Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. Do you have that? Can you pop that up there, please? Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. What does that mean? That means you're not alone. No matter how good somebody else looks, as far as God's concerned, we're all in the same boat. There is no one who does it perfectly. There is no one who has an easier life than another person. Now, that's hard to believe, isn't it? There's no one who has an easier... Well, wait a minute. What about people in Haiti? They have it harder than we do. But you want to hear something interesting? Last time I went to Haiti, and I saw hard things. I saw people living in cardboard boxes, people dying in cardboard boxes. I saw kids in orphanages who had been abandoned. And the interesting thing is this, and you can check with anyone who went to Haiti, all the kids in the orphanages are just running around with big smiles on their face, living in the minute and loving what they're encountering. When we were in Haiti, Hurricane Sandy hit. And there were places the water was right up to your waist. In fact, our bus was driving by and we saw this woman walking just like it was another day in Haiti. Water up to her waist and a basket on her head filled with food, just walking through the water like nothing had happened. And we left Haiti and we flew back. And when we flew back, Hurricane Sandy was hitting the United States. And I can never forget this, turning on my TV and watching a celebrity in New York talk about being so afraid and so nervous because they were waiting in her apartment for their chauffeur to pick them up and take them to the airport so they could get out. And she said it was so scary. It took him over a half hour to get here. I thought, are you kidding me? In her mind, that was hard and that was scary. One of the hardest things for me as a pastor and as a therapist would be sitting with clients who would say to me, I can't do that. I just can't do that. Now, I just came back from Haiti. People living in boxes. People scavenging for food. And now in the United States, I'm asking someone to do something that's well within their comfort level. And there's, I can't. That's too much. I can't. It's interesting. It's all a matter of perspective. Who's right and who's wrong? To those people, it was just as real. No one's perfect. And the reality is, no one has it any easier than others. Because you can think having a nice car and a nice house makes life easy, and yet I know people who have cars and homes and they live in desperation. No one is any better than you are. What makes life hard on us sometimes is just this fact that we can think we're alone and not enough. And yet when I realize I live in a fallen world, life is hard. And so there are some very hard things for me to do. And yet I live with people and my experience is their experience. You know what difference that can make if we actually believe that? Jealousy goes out the window. Judgment goes out the window. Withdrawing from others, holding back from others goes right out the window. If I can recognize, you know what, we all have it hard. And God would have us to help those around us to make their lives easier. Different world, huh? But once again, the problem of sin. Life is hard. And no one's perfect. But God is able. Thirdly, the good news is this, God is able. God is able to make life easier. Can you put that scripture up there? Jeremiah 32:17. O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. The good news is this, there is a God, there is a creator who created heaven and earth who can tip the scales, who can make what was hard a little bit easier. there's somebody to go to. People who live in this world and who don't believe in God live in a world of despair. Because if hope is only based upon what I can do and I'm weak and I have a hard enough time doing just the basics, how will I ever do the really hard things? But when I know that I have a God who is able, why is he able? Because he created the whole thing. There is nothing that takes him unaware. There's nothing that surprises him. God doesn't sit in heaven rubbing his hands wondering how this is all going to work out. He created it. He's the author of it. He's able to do what we're not able to do. He becomes our refuge and strength, as the psalmist says. He is able to do what we can't do. And that's the good news. I can't imagine living day after day after day in this world where everything can be so hard, where I have to face things like aging. I have to face things like grief. I have to face loss. I have to face hurt and heartache. And no, there's no one there to help me. There's no one there to make sense of it. I have to face death like an executioner, knowing that every good thing is lost and it was all for naught. And yet, having a God who tips the scales, having a God who says to me that there's a heaven as well as an earth, there is life and there is life after, there is creation and there's recreation and salvation, and there is eternity. I need a God who is able to do it all. Because life is hard and no one's perfect. No one can make it easy. We need someone who can. But here's the good news. God is good. Not only is God able, but God is good. Now, what does that mean? God is good. It means he behaves himself. He's a good guy. He doesn't mess up in life. That's not what it means. When we say God is good, in fact, put up Philippians chapter 2. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. What does it mean when we say that God is good? It means that God has a plan for all of us. God has a plan to redeem us. God has a plan to overrule the hardest things and make all things possible in Christ Jesus. Why is God good? Not just because he's able, but he makes us able. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do. He doesn't work in you just to will it. Come on, come on, you can do it. Come on, come on. You know, the little train that said it couldn't, you can. That ain't enough. He's able to will it and do it in you. You know, what do we really do? On the hard things, we submit to God. Hardest things that I ever had to do in my life, I just said, God, you're in control. I'll show up. I'll do the best I can. But he does it through me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I love this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work within us in Christ Jesus. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. you look at something, you say, God, that's hard. Going back to school, that's hard. Being vulnerable with people, that's hard. Facing my fears, that's hard. Being generous with my money, that's hard. And yet the promise is that we have a God who is able and he's good. He makes it come to pass. His will for us, he makes come to pass in us. And not only that, but to do immeasurably more than we thought we could do. Because according to his power that's within us in Christ Jesus, anything can happen. The hard becomes easy. The impossible becomes possible. The unthinkable becomes revealed. See, in the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of these topics. The hardest things in life. Not learning how to golf. Not learning how to bake a cake or how to become a better steward of money, per se. Not easy, but the hardest things. The things that scare us to death. And what we're going to find in all that, these four principles, life is hard. No one's perfect. God is able. And God is good. And through his word, he shows us how to do the hardest things. And when we show up and engage, the hardest things not only become the possible things, but they become the glorious things. Because God's glory is when we just show up and say, God, I'm trusting. And when all is said and done, he does something in us that is immeasurably more than even what the world could ever think or imagine. Let's join our hearts in prayer.